God never tells you where he's going to take you without getting you to where you're going, even though there may be interruptions along the way.
Dr. Tony Evans says even when those interruptions are painful, we need to keep trusting and fearing the Lord.
The question of fearing God is, will you believe his word when the circumstances are contrary to you?
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. Sometimes life gets so stormy that we wonder if we're going to make it through. But Dr. Evans says even when things are at their worst, we can find treasure in troubled times. Let's join him as he explains.
The prophet Isaiah said this in Isaiah 33:6. He said that the fear of the Lord is your stability and treasure in difficult times. That the way you stabilize life when it is tumultuous, uncertain, and difficult, the equalizer, he says, is the fear of God. We've studied that in the book of Malachi when we talked about taking God seriously. That's the definition of fearing God. It means taking God seriously as opposed to casually. And nothing will prove practically whether you take God seriously than during difficult times. When it's smooth, it's easy to take God seriously because there's nothing competing for your emotions, for your direction. But to take God seriously during difficult times, this well-known story in Mark chapter 6, comes at the end of Jesus feeding the 5,000. He comes at the end at verse 44. Jesus has taken some sardines and crackers and fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So that means he's fed close to 20,000 people with sardines and crackers. Keep that in mind. Jesus fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, with some sardines and crackers. Verse 45 starts off with the word immediately. In other words, right after the need was met, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of Bethsaida while he was himself sending the crowd away. Jesus gives the benediction. He's sending the crowd away. And watch this now. He made his disciples. Didn't ask, didn't request, didn't instruct, he insisted. You guys go across the water to the other side while I take care of dismissing the crowd. After bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain, verse 46 says, to pray. He sends them away, he gives the benediction, and he says to them, I'll catch up with you later. He goes to the mountain to pray. A problem arises in verse 47. When it was evening, the boat was in the midst of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them, at about the fourth hour watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he intended to pass them by. Let's review. These disciples were only in the water because Jesus made them go in. This was not a volunteer trip. This was an insisted trip. Jesus made them get in the water to take the boat to the other side. What's my point? I'm saying these disciples were in the perfect will of God. They weren't carnal. They weren't rebelling. They weren't resisting. They did exactly what Jesus told them to do. He said, get in the boat, go to the other side. But when they got in the boat to go to the other side, a storm broke out. A storm broke out in the middle of God's will. Some people would say, well, if you're in God's will, it won't rain. If you're doing what God told you to do, there'll be no storm. Sometimes you haven't seen rain until you're in the will of God. They are smack dab in the will of God, doing exactly what God told them to do, and a storm breaks out. It says they were straining at the oars. You know, straining, grunting and groaning. In other words, they were trying hard to obey. They weren't just casually saying, if I do it, I do it. If I don't, I don't. It says they were straining. Straining means they were exerting extra energy to get where they were going. In other words, they were trying to obey. Have you ever been trying to obey and being resisted by your circumstances? It's not that you don't want to do what God wants you to do. It's just so hard. I'm just straining. I'm just trying to get there. I'm trying to obey you. I'm trying to bring my emotions intact. I'm trying not to do what you asked me not to do. And it's hurting me because I'm straining trying to be a good Christian. I'm trying with all I've got. It says they were straining at the oars. It says they were straining at the oars in the middle of the sea. Now, the Sea of Galilee is about 7 miles or so across. It says they were in the middle. That means they're 3.5 miles over. Now watch this. If you're halfway to your destination, where you're supposed to go, but you're stuck because you're straining, and we're told why they were straining, it says, for the wind was contrary to them. In other words, their efforts to do what God told them to do was being resisted by circumstances out of their control. They couldn't control the wind. And every time they grunted and groaned to try to get where they were supposed to go, they were being resisted by circumstances out of their control. God, how am I going to obey you when I'm being resisted and I can't change the thing that's resisting me? I can't control the boss. I can't control the economy. I can't control the soil. I can't control. All I can do is do the best I can with these oars. And my best isn't good enough. Now, if you're stuck in the middle and you're straining because the wind is contrary to you, it means the wind's blowing one way and you're trying to row this way, but the wind, the circumstances are contrary, are resisting you, then the temptation is to turn it around. So the wind can push you back and you don't have to go through all this. Has anybody ever thought about turning around and going back because this obeying Jesus is too hard? This obeying Jesus is rough because the harder I row, the stronger the wind gets and it's contrary to me. Oh, but it gets worse. He says it was the fourth watch. The fourth watch is 3 to 6 a.m. In other words, it's dark. You can't see. So they're out there. When he dismisses them, he dismisses them in the daytime because the crowd has been there listening to him teach. And they did not have Texas Stadium. They didn't have, you know, they didn't have a place that was lit. So they have been out there now. If the fourth watch is 3 to 6 in the morning and it was daylight when he sent them out there, they've been struggling for a minute, trying to make it, trying to do exactly what God asked them to do. And now it's dark. So they're in God's will, doing the best they can and not getting anywhere. For the wind was contrary to them. But we're introduced to a very subtle statement. It says, seeing them straining at the oars. They are 3.5 miles out. It's dark. But Jesus, seeing them straining at the oars. What I'm trying to tell you is Jesus knows where you are. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows you're trying the best you can. He knows you're giving it all you've got. He knows that the wind is stopping you from getting to where you want to go. He knows you're considering turning around. It says he was watching them straining. He was watching them going, He was seeing the tears that run down the eyes. He was feeling the pain and the anguish of being out there that long and being tired. He knew what it was like to be halfway and stuck. What I'm trying to say is he knows where you are. Why was he watching them in the dark? You see, when it's dark and it's midnight in your life, and you're just doing the best you can. You're straining as hard as you can. You're doing all you can, but you're getting nowhere. Nothing is breaking for you. Jesus is acutely aware of where you are. We're told something in this passage. It says he went up to the mountain to pray. The Bible calls Jesus our great high priest. A high priest intercedes between God and the people. It says he went out to pray. Now the question is, what is he praying? You don't have to turn there, but in Luke 22, Jesus told Peter, he says, you're going to deny me before the cock crows, before the rooster has alerted you to a new day. You will have denied me three times. But then he says, I pray for you. And then he tells them what he prayed for, that your faith fail not. Let me tell you what Jesus is praying for you and for me and for us. That even though it's dark, even though you don't see any answer, even though the solution is nearby, even though it's pitch black, even though you can't see Jesus, he's praying that your faith fail not. That the toughness of the situation doesn't cause you to turn the boat around. That the toughness of the situation doesn't cause you to give up. That the toughness of the darkness of the moment doesn't make you throw in the towel. Jesus' prayer is that your faith fail not. Notice what the verse says. This is sweet. This is sweet. You can live with this one. Because it says, at the end of verse 48, he came to them walking on the sea. Let me say that again. I don't want you to miss that. He came to them walking on the sea. Okay, I want to say that real slow. He came to them walking on the sea. Now, he told them to go to the other side. They could have argued, let's go back to Jesus, because Jesus stayed on the land. But if they went back to Jesus, they would have had to disobey Jesus, because Jesus told them to go to the other side of the water. So if they would have turned it around and gotten spiritual, we too far from Jesus. Let's turn this boat around, because it's hard out here in the middle when the wind's contrary against us. Let's go back to Jesus. They could have gotten real spiritual. But if they would have gotten that spiritual, they would have had to disobey, because he told them, keep going to the other side. But what verse 48 says is he came to them. But it tells you more than that he came to them. It says he came to them walking on the water. Let me say that one more time. He came to them walking on the water. Now I know you're asking, you say, why do you keep repeating that? That he came to them walking on the water. Because I thought the water was the problem. I thought the water was the issue. I thought the water was causing the conflict because there was a storm and they were straining and the water was the problem. In other words, he came to them on the very problem they were dealing with. Do you know why you shouldn't turn your boat around? When you're in God's will, doing the best you can? Because your problem may very well be the staircase that God uses to make his entrance known to you. In other words, God may need the problem to take the trip. Because trust me, if somebody is walking on water, you know that ain't normal. If somebody is walking on water, you know that's not natural. If somebody is walking on water, you know something supernatural is going on. That God can use the very problem you're in to make his unique presence known.
So no matter how rough things get, there's always more going on than just the storm. Dr. Evans will come back to tell us more about that in just a moment. First, I want to remind you about a great resource that won't be around much longer, our brand new CD compilation, The Best of Tony Evans 2018. It contains 20 of Tony's most requested lessons of the past year, including lessons on what faith really means, how to trust God during hard times, ways to fill up that emptiness you feel inside, and much more. This collection makes a perfect Christmas gift for someone you care about. If you can help us keep Tony's teaching on this station and end 2018 in the black with whatever contribution God leads you to make, we'll send you the first 10 messages on this set on CD, along with digital downloads of the other 10. That's 20 full-length messages. Here's Dr. Evans with a word about why your gifts are so important.
I'm so excited to be coming to you and wishing you a very wonderful holiday season, a Merry Christmas, a blessed new year, and to let you know that the Urban Alternative continues to expand its impact and its outreach. We're now heard every day in England. We're now on stations in California, Southern California, Los Angeles, Orange County. We are expanding as God provides us the support from friends like you to enable that to happen. So can we count on you at this year's end for a generous contribution to the Urban Alternative, a tax-deductible contribution to help us to end the year strong and go into the new year even stronger? Because as God provides, we're going to expand so the Word of God can continue its impact. Lives are being changed. Families are being reunited. Churches are being encouraged. And even the broader community is being unified through this ministry, and you're helping that to happen.
Please help us keep that momentum going. Visit TonyEvans.org and let us know we can count on your help so we can send you the best of Tony Evans 2018. Again, that's TonyEvans.org, or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. Team members are there 24/7 to help you, so don't wait. That's 1-800-800-3222. Now, let's get back to today's message. Here's Dr. Evans.
So he's walking on the water. Verse 48 says, and he intended to pass them by. But when they saw him walking on the sea and supposed that it was a ghost, they cried out. In other words, they were scared. Because this ain't normal. This is not normal for a person to be walking on water. It's got to be a ghost. After all, it's dark. They're just seeing a shadow come their way. See, the reason why they're scared, they didn't expect Jesus to show up like this. The worst thing you can do is box God in to how you think he ought to come through for you. The worst thing you can do is box God in and think that if he's going to show up, it must be like this. Because that's the only thing my mind can conceive of. They could not conceive that he would show up walking on the very problem that was causing them the very difficulty that they wanted to get out of. Jesus came to them on the problem and they couldn't imagine. They thought it was a ghost. Jesus speaks up. He says in verse 50, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Now, wait a minute, there is a storm. Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. He spoke, but there's still a storm. In other words, he calmed them down with his word before he changed their circumstance. He let them hear his word before he changed their situation. It is I. We said that the treasure, Isaiah 33:6, is the fear of God. We are afraid of the wrong thing. We give more weight to the circumstance than to the God who can walk on it. Turn your Bibles back 2 pages to Mark 4, verse 35. And on that day, when evening came, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. See, let's go over to the other side. This time he's with them. Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind. See, it's the same situation. And the waves were breaking over the boats so that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? He got up and rebuked the wind and the sea. Hush, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? How is it that you have no faith? They became very much afraid and said to one another, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I'm going to pick up the first story in Mark 6, but look at Mark 4. He gets in the boat with them. Says he fell asleep. But it says more than that. It says he fell asleep on a cushion. That's a pillow. Now, if you fall asleep on a pillow, that means you meant to go to sleep. You're not just nodding. That means you done tucked that baby up under you and you leaning over. You done gone to sleep on purpose. While Jesus is napping, the storm breaks out. The Greek word is lilac. A lilac is a windstorm over in the Sea of Galilee. It roughs the water up because the Sea of Galilee is in a basin surrounded by mountains. And the sea whipped up the storm, and the storm was tumultuous. And they looked over, and the Savior they're trusting in is snoring. Have you ever felt Jesus snoring on you? You in a crisis and he's asleep. You're not hearing anything from heaven. In fact, they go over to him and say, "Teacher, carest thou not that we're dying?" And it feels like that sometimes when you're in the middle and everything is contrary and you can't make contact and you're right smack dab in the will of God because he told you to get in the boat. They wake him up and say, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And Jesus said, "Why are you so timid? Why you want to give up on me this quick? Why are you so timid?" I can hear Peter now. Oh, maybe because we're getting ready to die. You know, the boat's filling up with water, Jesus. Oh, ye of little faith. Now, on the face of it, that would sound insensitive. Well, the boat's filling up with water. It looks like we could drown. You're asleep. We're doing what you ask us to do. In other words, none of this makes sense. It doesn't compute. It doesn't fit my theology class in the Kingdom Agenda Bible Institute. This does not compute. Why would Jesus say to them, "O ye of little faith"? Because before they left, he said, "Let us go to the other side." They were probably saying, like you do in church, "Amen, other side, other side, other side. Other side, other side, we're going to get to the other side." Because Jesus said, "Other side, other side, other side." But their circumstance, the storm, made them forget what Jesus had said. The question of fearing God is, will you believe his word when the circumstances are contrary to you? Will you believe what he said when things are not working out like he said? The only reason you won't believe it is because it looks like the circumstances are bigger than he is. Notice what he said. The New American Standard says, "Hush, be still." The King James Version says, "Peace, be still." Well, wait a minute now. If peace is going to be still, that means peace is moving. I thought a storm was moving. Listen, if you're in a storm and you're in God's will, it's peace that's moving. It's peace in motion. Why? Because God never tells you where he's going to take you without getting you to where you're going, even though there may be interruptions along the way. If they really would have believed his word, when they saw him on a pillar, they would have gotten their pillar too, and all of them would have been snoring because they would have feared him more than the circumstances. They're going to have some storm. It's going to rain. Some will be light showers, others will be thunderstorms. Some will be quick showers, others will last for a while. But what I want to submit to you is, no matter how big your storm gets, God is bigger. And that is your treasure for troubled times. Now back to chapter 6. He says, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Then he got into the boat with them. The wind stopped. Okay. The wind did not stop until he got into the boat. Remember, he intended to pass them by. So it wasn't until there was intimacy of relationship that circumstance changed. It didn't change when they heard his word. "It is I, do not be afraid." That's the word. But it didn't change the circumstance until there was intimacy of association. You can hear the word all day and feel better because you've heard the word. But until there's intimacy of relationship, is there change of circumstance? He got in with them. Now, see, first of all, they heard from him. But now he got in with them. So the word became a living relationship of closeness with them. They were utterly astonished. They were shocked. Verse 51 says, why were they shocked? For they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves because their heart was hardened. Okay, here it is. They hadn't grown any. He's talking about a growth where the heart's not hardened. And they hadn't learned from what had just happened in the few verses before with the loaves and the fish. You know you're growing when you're unastonished. See, he says, they were astonished because they hadn't learned and their hearts were hardened. What exactly hadn't they learned? Let's rewind. They're 5,000 men. not counting women and children. That's 20,000 people. All Jesus has is sardines and crackers. What did Jesus do when he faced a trial where there was too little for too many? If you back up to verse 38, how many loaves do you have? Go look. And they found out and said, 5 and 2 fish. He commanded them all to sit down by groups on the green grass. They sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. He took the 5 loaves and he took the fish, and looking upwards to heaven, he blessed the food and broke the loaves. And he kept giving to the disciples and set before them. He divided them up the 2 fish among them all, and they ate and were satisfied, and picked up 12 full baskets of broken pieces and also of the fish. And there were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. Wait a minute now. Jesus didn't have enough to go around. He didn't have enough to feed one, more or less 20,000. But the text says he blessed what he had. It wasn't nearly enough, but he blessed it. And I don't know how it happened, but somehow Moby Dick, Orca the Killer Whale, something was laying on the beach, and he feeds 5,000 people, not men, not counting women and children. What was the lesson that the disciples didn't learn? When you're in a storm and you don't know how you're going to get out of the storm, and there's not enough to make it through the storm, bless what God has given you. And let God do the rest. Jesus says, if you would have paid attention to what happened yesterday with the 5,000, you would have been blessing me in the middle of your situation. You would have been praising me in the middle of your mess. You would have been glorifying me even though you're stuck in the middle of the ocean if you were paying attention. If there is no storm, you will never know if you're growing. I want you to bless him in the midst of the storm for whatever he has given you, 2 fish, 5 barley loaves, not much. Not much, God, you ain't giving me much to bless. All through Israel's history, rather than blessing God, they complained. You gave us manna, we want meat. I want you to take hold of this treasure of fearing God above your circumstance, proved by blessing him in the midst for whatever little he's given you. It's not enough. I know it's not enough. I know you're stuck in the middle. I know you want to turn around and go back. I know it's dark. I understand that. I want you to still bless him because he has a way of walking on your mess to get to you.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about a powerful principle that can help you survive the storms of life. If you'd like to review this lesson on your own or pass it along to someone you care about, just get in touch with us for details on the message titled Treasure for Troubled Times. You'll get the full-length version that includes quite a bit of content we didn't have time to bring you on the air. And don't forget to request your copy of our current featured resource, The Best of Tony Evans 2018, a powerful assortment of his most requested messages of the past year. As I mentioned, it's yours as our gift when you help us keep Tony's teaching on this station with a contribution of any size. You get all 20 full-length messages, all for whatever gift you feel God leading you to make, large or small. Be sure to contact us right away since this offer is only available for a limited time. Just drop by TonyEvans.org where you can get all the details and make your donation online. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or you can call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you. Some people think single is what you have to be before you get to be something else. Next week, Dr. Evans explains that real contentment begins when you understand who you already are and why. You won't want to miss it. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.